name is George Asikri with this edition of Behind the News, where we bring you latest updates and detailed analysis of current happenings in Ghana. Tonight, NDC descends on government with numerous allegations of inefficiency. How justified are the accusers? We get a reaction shortly. Ghana records less than 50% good pass in mathematics and integrated science in 2017 WASI. What are the implications for the quest for enhanced science and mathematics education? National Disaster Management Organization begins the silting of major drains in the national capital. Is this the solution to flooding in our city? We'll be asking. And Confederation of African Football CAF president hints of plans to host future AFCON tournament outside the soils of Africa. What does this mean to the integrity of Africa? We find out. Stay tuned for the next 1 hour as we bring you details of all these stories on our show tonight. You are encouraged to join the discussion via our text line 0266-026-941. Please remember to add your name and where you're sending the message from. Your language should be decent to befit the status of the national broadcaster. The opposition NDC has outlined a plethora of allegations against the six-month-old Nanado-led government. The party accused the government of gross inefficiency in the management of the economy, describing some sectors such as security as getting out of hand. Leader of the NDC, Kofi Portofi, told journalists in Accra that the NDC is legitimately putting the government on its toes in the best interest of the country. Behind the News explores the issues raised by the NDC. Meanwhile, the PPP has also waded into the debate on the Electoral Commission chairperson, which was raised at the NDC's news conference. The PPP is of the opinion that the EC chair should not be removed. But joining us on the line is the Director of Communications of the PPP, Paco Akweba. Before we talk to him, let's hear some of the issues that the NDC leader raised.
That for the first time in the history of Ghana, we now have a president who has become a legal alien. He has become a legal alien because he spends more time abroad than at home. Hence his ability to be on top of governance issues as he grossly exhibited at the last press meeting. Is it not sad that the people who were quick to refer to other persons as incompetent, within a short period of 6 months, exhibiting a rare form of gross and gargantuan incompetence, having campaigned on the wings of blatant untruths so as to demonize the NDC government? We're told that given the opportunity, an Akufo-Addo Bahumia government will swing the magic wand and turn Ghana round into a paradise within 100 days. We ask, where is the free SCJs? Where is the reduction in the prices of electricity tariffs via abolishing the energy sector levy? Where is the promise to pay all monies due customers of DKM, God is Love, Perfect Edge, Little Drops, and other microfinance scam schemes? Where is the $1 million that was going to be carried in Ghana must go back to all constituencies? Where is the payment due to all contracts? Where is the restoration of teacher and nursing trainee allowances? Where are the decent jobs that was promised the youth? Where is the reduction in corporate tax from 25% to 20%? Where is the reduction of the 3% special import levy? Where is the reduction in the cost of driver's licenses and insurance? Where is the one dam, one village? And where is the one factory, one district? President Akufo-Addo failed to address the above issues and rather chose to disingenuously skirt around them. President may have succeeded in skirting around his promises when he met the press, but he and the MPP cannot skirt around the true verdict of the majority of Ghanaians that Akufo-Addo and Bahumia have failed woefully as managers of all affairs of state. Most definitely, President Akufo-Addo is turning out to become like Kwakua Nancy. I say President Akufo-Addo is turning out to be like Kwakua Nancy because in our Ghanaian folklore, Kwakwa Nancy always begins as the most intelligent and shrewdest person. Ends up is scampering to hide his embarrassment in his web. The embarrassment that is engulfing the Akufo-Addo Bawumbian government is becoming too much. President Akufo-Addo and the MPP flew into power on the wings of mostly false allegations of corruption against the NDC government. The president's endorsement of ridiculous cooked-up BNI report on the contaminated oil scandal involving Alfred Boating, who is managing director of BOST, is a clear indication that the president cannot be relied upon to wage any meaningful war against corruption. In spite of the existence of incontrovertible proof of wrongdoing, including an unambiguous indictment of the petroleum sector regulator MPA, the president failed to dismiss and prosecute Alfred Obeng. Of course, it is common knowledge that Alfred Obeng heavily financed the campaign of Nana Akufo-Addo. Prior to the stinking boss deal, was equally stinking 2.25 billion bond, the Ken bond, issued in the middle of the night by the finance minister, cousin of the president.
Leader of the NDC, Kofi Portofe, the minority leader in parliament, Haruna Idrisu, also spoke on the EC boss issue, where some workers of the Electoral Commission allegedly have petitioned the president to remove the chairperson of the EC.
A message to President Nana Addo Dankwa is that he should stay off intruding into the operations and activities of the Independent Electoral Commission of Ghana. Whilst we have accommodated him sweeping up the civil and public service and replacing them with officials of the new patriotic party, we are unable to accept and live with any attempt by him to erode public confidence in the independent constitutional body of the Electoral Commission. Therefore, his effort and quest at blackmail witch hunt will fail today, fail tomorrow, and will be resisted outright by the NDC. Therefore, whilst he can interfere into the operations of the civil and public service, I hear, for instance, the National Labour Commission, the head of it have been asked to go home. What the president has forgotten is that he swore to uphold the laws of Ghana. He is not the sole appointer of the National Labour Commission and its chief executive as by law established. The chief executive of National Vocational Training Institute have been asked to proceed on leave, having worked for the state and surpassed every other administration, including the combined NDC and MPP administration. As I speak to you, we'll share with you in more detail, even at the Ministry of Finance, as many as 8 civil service positions have been filled by officers who hitherto were working with the Minister of Finance at Data Bank and have been put on the payroll of the Ghana Revenue Authority. We will not accept the undue politicization of the civil and public service of Ghana. But even that is tolerable, we will not, and we will resist in all full force the attempt at blackmail witch hunt directed at the Electoral Commission of Ghana. What President Akufo-Addo must remember with his MPP is that the same electoral commissioner in whom today they have doubt declared him President of the Republic. And therefore, he should know that when the sovereign will and the voices of the people speak, we'll walk him quietly out on the basis of the sovereign mandate of the people of Ghana.
Minority Leader in Parliament, Haruna Idrisu. The PPP's Director of Communication is Paco Akwe. He joins us on the line. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, George, and thank you for having me.
What is the PPP's beef about the Electoral Commission?
Well, let me say good evening to our listeners and thank you for having us. I'm sure many listeners know the frustration the PPP was made to go through in the run-up to the 2016 election. All the issues that were raised against the party and those issues that sought to demean and disgrace the party. let me say that as a party, we are not happy with the issues that have arisen at the Electoral Commission, issues with corruption and the current petition that has been raised against the EC chair. But as a party, we are a law-abiding political organization, and we believe that as the law says in Article 1463, if a petition is raised against any individual, especially if a person is of a court, his or her removal, petition has to go through the president, and he, the president, is supposed to submit the petition to the Chief Justice, who would then take action on the matter. So we believe that this is an issue that is in the remit of the president and the Chief Justice. And so we are looking up to them. Whatever the decision they take, we as a party will have nothing to say. Of course, we are also looking for public institutions. We expect that leaders of state institutions who live upright lives, they will live above reproach and serve the interests of the institutions they represent, and not to serve their own personal interests. So for us, we are observing from afar, and we look forward to how this issue pans out.
Well, on the other issue, you are part of the opposition parties. The NDC in particular has been coming out with so many accusations against the government, which has just done 12.5% of its term. How justified are some of these allegations coming from your sister opposition party?
In response, what, please?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
I didn't hear your question.
I said the NDC, mm-hmm, which is also an opposition party, has been accusing the six-month-old government of so many things. They talk of corruption, they talk of inefficiency, they talk of security issues, and so on and so on. I'm asking, as an opposition party, how does the PPP feel when such allegations are being leveled against a six-month-old government?
Well, we believe that the NDC has the right to talk, as they are doing. But of course, they do not have the moral high ground to talk about corruption. We all know why the NDC was voted out from power. It is the same issue of corruption.
You know why they were voted out?
Of course. The issues of corruption all over.
But no study has confirmed that.
Well, we have to see. The president, when he addressed the press, said that the wheel of justice grinds slowly, and that they are taking steps to ensure that all the people who have caused the state some money will be dealt with. So we look forward to that. But I'm saying that one of the major reasons for which the NDC was voted out was because of corruption. Okay. And corruption-related issues. And so they have the right to talk. But I believe that if we are looking for a credible party to analyze and assess this current administration, it shouldn't be the NDC. It should be the PPP. We agree with some of the comments they have made in respect of some corrupt deals that have happened under this current administration. You can talk about the bus issue and several other cases. We believe that the promise the MPP government made, especially during the 2016 election, on jobs, that is what the people are looking forward to.
Okay.
And so if this government is serious about alleviating poverty, is serious about providing a better life for the people of this country, the focus should be about jobs, as we promised in the 2016 election.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. We are very grateful, sir.
Thank you.
Park Owakwe is the Director of Communications of the PPP, and that's the Progressive People's Party. And joining us on the line is the Director of Elections of the NDC and First Vice National Chairman, Samuel Ufuswampofu. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening and good evening to your listeners.
What is it that is making the NDC uncomfortable with a six-month-old government?
Well, first of all, let me say that the NDC wouldn't have come out now if Nana Akufo-Addo had not decided to come and subject his six-month-old government to scrutiny. And because we know that traditionally governments are served 100 days and more often than not 1 year into office. But he decided to come and account for his 6 months-old stewardship. And so once he has opened up the debate, then of course we have no other alternative but to also make our comments as the largest opposition party. In order to contribute to good governance, we always ought to make our voices heard anytime issues of governance and matters of the state are concerned.
But you raise so many issues, and one be wondering if all those issues are credible. For instance, the opposition leader asks, where is the free senior high school? And we all know that government is rolling out the program in September.
Well, he asked that question because of the curiosity we have developed as a result of the press meet the press that the president did yesterday. In his statement prior to the question and answer period, he was very silent on the senior high school concept, and we believe that since 2008, 2012, and 2016, Nana Akufo-Addo had campaigned on a flagship policy, and that is the free senior high school policy. And so when he organizes a press program 2 months away from the beginning of the next academic year, and he's silent about this flagship program, it leaves much to be desired. And that is why we ask the question. And you know that when the questioner even asked him, he said no comment, because something is being done. But we are all aware that even within the government, within the minister himself and other stakeholders, they have been giving us conflicting policy position on the free senior high school, because we were told that the free senior high school was free. In fact, if you go to the net and you check, Nana Akufo-Addo, when he addressed the 60th anniversary of Okwiapuman senior high school, he indicated that the free senior high school is free school fees, free boarding fees, free feeding, no textbook, no entertainment, no sports allowance, no PTA, everything is free, and that these students will even be given free meal, in addition to the fact that technical and vocational institutions will also enjoy the same benefit. We thought that this meets the press of giving him another opportunity to outline the concrete steps, because we have heard of the 16 cutoff points. We know the GES and WAEC cutoff points for GHS is about 30, 30. And so we felt that it was an opportunity for him to have highlighted all these issues and allay the fears of parents and the apprehensions.
But not highlighting it doesn't mean that he will not do what he said at Okwiapuman Secondary School.
Well, only yesterday, I read on the net that Mr. Kwame Adukufo, the former Interior and Defense Minister under President Kufo, has asked Nana Akufo-Addo to come and apologize to Ghanaians and postpone the commencement of the senior high school.
Well, but that's an individual's view. He's entitled to it if it's even true.
A very senior member of the MPP. And so when you start seeing these things, then you smell something that they've started preparing the minds of Ghanaians for their inability to withdraw. That's why we were asking, where is it? Give us concrete steps. Give us the roadmap. Give us specifics so that you allay the fears of Ghanaians, because only 2 months and they are preparing their children to go to senior high school. But they are now Everybody has been kept in the dark because we don't know what it entails.
Mr. Fosamba, hold the line for me. Let me get a reaction from the NPP. Kamal Dean Abdullah is the Nasara coordinator of the NPP, and he joins us on the line. Good evening, Kamal, and welcome to the program.
Good evening, my brother, and thanks for having me.
The NDC has asked so many questions. Where is the free senior high school? Where is the allowance to nurse and teacher trainees? Where are the jobs? Where is the money for DKM, Justa Motors, God is Love? Where are the promises, one term, and so on and so forth?
Well, thank you very much. The last time I checked, I had cause to listen to a saying that the job of the opposition is to oppose. And I guess that is what the NDP just did today. If the job of the opposition is just to oppose only, of course, they have been best at it today. You rightly asked Honorable Ofosu Ampafu, my very good elder brother, or if you like, an uncle of mine, that what has a government which is 6 months old done to them to deserve such a press conference that they held, stating ineptness, stating, if you like, not on top of the job, and all that. He points to the fact that prior to the election, we had made phantom promises, which includes the free SHS, and also alludes to the fact that the president just some few days ago had a press encounter and a flagship policy, if you like, which he campaigned on was completely missing, to the extent that a question was asked and he said something was being done on it and couldn't give a detailed answer. I mean, that's a very interesting position that the NDC wants us to believe in. My point is so simple. Haven't we on record that the next academic year will see the free SHS being ruled out? Don't you have that on record?
Only for first-year students.
I am asking. Don't we have that on record, that the free SHS promise by the government of Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo, okay, will be rolled out by September this year? This is just fact, statement of fact, I beg you. And I think the answer to this is in the affirmative. Yes. Again, you ask the question where all these promises you have given are. It's a simple matter. If you come into government for the first 6 months and you have had to put up a government, do appointments, you have had to come up with a budget, you have had to come up with fiscal policies, and you are able to do all this within 6 months and now going on to proceed on implementation, then someone says you have failed. For God's sake, is it a case that we just want to hear the opposition speak? Or we want to hear the opposition speak and speak with, as it were, some butter in it, so that at the end of the day, we know that this, we have a very responsible opposition.
Beyond that, there are issues of security which the opposition raised. There are issues of bust, corruption issues were all raised.
You see, I am not an element of the NDC. I remember clearly that Martin Amidu, who is the foundation member of the NDC, who I believe Vice Chairman Ofosu Ampafu knows very well, trumpeted to Ghanaians that never again should you cast your vote for NDC, even the party he belongs to, because of the class corruption that they had actually superintended over. I remember very well that the founder of the very NDC we are talking about today holding press conference, saying that the government of the NDC was actually seeing to nurturing people, if you like, with all respect, thieves, who could be described as thieves, milking the nation like a milking cow. I remember very well that a Supreme Court justice had called to say that a government superintended by the NDC was embarking on nothing but what? Great loot and share. Now, today you are talking about corruption. within 6 months of our government, and you have not come out with to evidently state that XYZ has happened, and this XYZ points at corruption, and these are evidences proving same to be true, and you just come and give a fake statement or a blanket statement, and you want Ghanaians to take it serious.
Right, Tangabia, hold the line for me. I'll get some reaction from Mr. Fuswampofu, and then we wrap up. Our time is running out. Mr. Fuswampofu, six months is too early. Arguably, that is what the NPP rep is saying.
Well, the Nana Akufo-Addo, in his statement, especially when he was talking about the agriculture sector, was talking about distribution of seedlings, cocoa seedlings to farmers. One will ask, the MPP had been in office for 6 months. When was the cocoa seedlings, planted? And when were they ready for transplant? Such that they are now boasting that they have distributed so and so number of thousands of metric tons of cocoa seedlings to farmers. That's the question I'm asking, because these were programs and projects that were put in place by the NDC. And they came and they are taking the credit for it. I have said initially that if the MPP themselves, and Nana Akufo-Addo, had not decided to come and give stewardship of his tenure for 6 months, we would have kept quiet and waited for 1 year. But he came and said that I'm going to account for my 6 months. And so once he has opened up the debate, then we need to ask the relevant questions. He indicated that if you are looking for money, then you can't be part of his government. And Kennedy Ejiofor is on record to have said that, the boss managing director contributed over 700,000 Ghana cedis to their campaign. And so if he is involved in some alleged fraudulent bills, nobody should touch him. His own member of parliament was saying it. And so we are saying that these matters have come. The bond issue has come, conflict of interest matters have been raised, and the boss issue has come. And we expect that Nana Akufo-Addo has been trumpeted all along that he's not going to condone with corruption. We would have expected him by this time
okay.
to put his foot to the ground and done something about it.
All right.
So we will not wait. Once he has opened up the debate, we will continue to ask the relevant questions. It is our contribution to good governance. We are not there just for the purpose of opposition. We are there to ensure that we contribute to our quota towards the development of this country. And that is the role of the minority. It is not just about opposing.
All right.
It's just about constructively criticizing and also giving some advice. And today we have given a number of advice as to what they can do even to improve the security of this country.
All right.
We appointed the highest number of security operatives, and so we facing serious insecurity in the country.
All right. We want to thank you very much for your time on our shows. We are very grateful.
Thank you very much.
Samuel Ofosu-Ampofu is the first vice chairman of the NDC and director of elections of the party as well. Mr. Kamal.
Yes.
You said the NDC is part of their work to criticize the government constructively by putting it on its tools.
I'm happy he has qualified the critique that is expected from them. And he says constructively and keeping or putting the government to its toes or on its toes. Now, if they should go on that tangent, I have no problem at all. Nonetheless, to just come and make unsubstantiated, unguarded statements in the media and call them a responsible opposition, I mean, it's something that we all frown on. If I listen to the NDC press conference today, they did mention that, and in fact, the very Ofosu-Ampofu did say that they are going to oppose to the implementation of ROPA, the representation of the People's Amendment Law, at 699, as amended. They are going to oppose to the implementation of it. Now, if you are going to oppose to that implementation, in fact, a law which is supposed to be sitting in our books, and in fact, it's a law, and you are talking about lawlessness in the system, then you come out to say that what is law, you will render it not operational. What is lawlessness than this? In your very statement, you were portraying the act of lawlessness by saying that you will prevent EC from implementing what is law.
aren't you trumpeting lawlessness? And you tend to accuse someone of lawlessness. So, you see, what I will say is that listeners this evening understand properly than what we, than some of us who are being interviewed by you. And listeners, of course, would have to decode or subject this thing to this, our, these comments of ours to some scrutiny and come out to make deductions and understand the way forward for themselves. Clearly, if you are talking about lawlessness and you are against the law, then of course you are lawless yourself and you are reckless. Let us allow the president of the state, Nana Abdul-Bello, who I trust in and I believe in, and who I believe many in Ghana believe in and give the mandate, allow him and his team to ensure that they put the proper modalities in place and measures in place to give us the good governance that we so much desire as a people. And I have no doubt in my mind that inshallah, not by our might, by the might of Almighty Allah, by the tail end of his mandate, we shall see Ghana not be where it is now, but rather develop to the max, inshallah.
Is there something from the news conference that the NPP will be considering?
Well, clearly, if they came out to say a whole lot of things, saying the economy was hard, and that, yes, things are so difficult, the next moment they will tell you that when things are good, the indicators that we are getting today pointing at a very strong economy. According to NDC, when did we pass our appropriation bill? It was in April. And if we pass our appropriation bill in April, and we are making indicators or positive indicators now, it is they who rather prepare the foundation for us to get such indicators. For that squad, for that one, they want to claim what? Credit. Nonetheless, they claim there's hardship. That one is caused by MPP. So I am looking at these contradictory statements that they come out, that comes out from them. So if you ask me if I got something good from their press conference, I will tell you that I am in generality poo-pooing what they said, because it was full of nothing but contradiction.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time. Kamal Dean Abdullah is the National Nasarawa Coordinator of the opposition, the New Patriotic Party, NPP. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. And I wanted to add that Kamal is a Tanga beer. And you can still keep your messages coming on 0266 0266 941 0266 0266 941. Moving on to other stories, the Greater Accra Regional NADMO office is on a comprehensive disaster prevention exercise dubbed Operation Prevent Disaster, which is being seen as dredging of some major and minor drains that cause floods in the region. It is common knowledge that some communities in the national capital are noted for flooding even the least rains, most of it caused by choked drains and unavailability of waterways. The NADMO officials, upon assumption of office, began an assessment of the situation, and they have begun dredging some of the drains in the capital. Joining us on the line is the regional NADMO coordinator, Archibald Kobina. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, sir. I greet all the cherished listeners.
And thanks for your time. What is the focus of this Operation Prevent Disaster that you are embarking on?
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Operation Prevent Disaster Phase 1. You know, this is the raining season from June, July, which is the period that is heaviest. In the dreams and vision of His Excellency the President, Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, who explicitly has said it time and over again in appointing some of us to come and take responsibility, his desire to have us work at making sure that we prevent, we do all our best to prevent the disasters rather than waiting for disasters to happen before we attempt to manage them. This, I believe that our Director General, who is the person of Nana Ajiman Prempeh, also has taken up the challenge and has also challenged all of us to take the mantle down. And as a regional director in Greater Accra, I know that this is the region where disaster happens most. And in fact, you know, this is the cosmopolitan area, the capital city, the capital region, and therefore we need to do all our best. So we had to launch this Operation Prevent Disaster, and as part of the program, we're doing sensitization and public education so that everybody will be aware of the issues relating to disaster prevention and what we all have to do to ensure that we do not have any major disaster on our hands.
Is it an impression that you've not actually begun dredging the gutters?
Oh, we have. We have. The thing is, I was just giving you the component.
Okay.
Because public education and sensitization is one critical component. Ensuring that citizens, assembly members, various stakeholders, and everybody is on board. And everybody, you know, brings their mind to bear that, yes, this is the time. And therefore, we all need to do our little bit. Of course, we are all part of the situation. Then when you come to the other component, which has to do with dredging, and of course, permit me to say a big thank you to HMD, Mr. Machinery, HMD Forwin, Mr. Machinery, who has given us two excavator machines. We have had some support from Goyal, Ghana, you know, to support us. And we are still asking for other NGOs and companies. We have companies like Star Brown who have also supported us with the Wellington boots and some jackets and nose masks and things like that. And therefore, we started right from Weja, Botiano, that is Gansau. We put one of the excavators there. One came first. So, problem with the Weja dam spillage, which affects areas like Weja, New Weja, Old Weja, Tetebu, and Chokome and all those areas. We had to cut through and ensure that the water from the spillage would enter into the sea. And this, we spent almost about 6 days doing very hard work with the support of the Metropolitan and the Assembly, Municipal Assembly, South Municipal Assembly, cooperating fully with us, and then the community and chiefs. From that area, we moved one machine to Gai. We did a lot of dredging within the Domi Railway. Domi Railway area is also another critical area where you find out that a lot of calls come during rainy season. People get stuck.
Okay.
And they are not able to cross over. Domi Railway, we did a bit of typha. We did ice, call the place ice block or something like that. We did a couple of days also in Ghana East with the kind support of the Municipal Assembly. The East Municipal Assembly Chief Executive and his team, our MP there, Honorable Sarah Duasafua, who was also very supportive in ensuring that this program was successful. We moved another machine to Lodua, where we dredged places like Wedo Kum.
Wow, unfortunately, we've lost him on the line. We shall try and reestablish contact with Archibald Kobina to make his point. With some of your text messages, Nyako in Yamfu says, the NDC should shut up in opposition and fix their battered and badly bruised party. They act like children who have been deprived of their candies. Kofi Andor in Mankesim says, the minority in parliament should keep quiet if they know the EC boss is clean. Good evening, George, you add. I think the new CAF boss should give a second look, or take a second look at hosting AFCON tournament outside African soil. As for the move to increase the number of teams, it is a good one. Odewale sent in that one. Razak Gulung in Kumbungu district says, NDC people have not yet recovered from their defeat. They should shut up and stop their propaganda. President Nana Akufo-Addo will deliver Isha Allow. AU Farouk in Tamale says, I salute the great opposition NDC for always hitting the clueless NPP Nanado government for non-performance. Keep the fire burning. Our leaders are failing us as a nation. Unemployment, healthcare, education, social amenities are problems that the people are facing. But always they talk politics. Victor Duakru in Cape Coast sent in that. Good evening, George. Science and mathematics are not difficult subjects, but the students hardly learn them. Fuga in Tabora sent in that. Abdullahi Elias, minister in Zantani Tolon district, says Kofi Portofi and his group want their names to be heard on the airwaves. That is why they come out with their unwanted press conferences. May Allah grant President Akufo-Addo the strength to continue with his rule. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. You can also bring yours 0266 026 941 to our next story. The president of the Confederation of African Football, CAF, Ahmad Ahmad, yesterday hinted that of his intention to expand the African Cup of Nations from 16 to 24 teams and open it up to non-African countries, and also the possibility of hosting the tournament outside Africa. The aim is to make it attractive and raise revenue. Mr. Ahmad Ahmad made this known at a two-day African football symposium in Morocco. This has been greeted with mixed reaction. So what does this mean to us, economic-wise, team spirit, and so on and so forth? Joining us on the line is a renowned football administrator and former GFA president, Lepura Alaji, MND Jawula. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening and good evening to all our cherished listeners, wherever they may be.
With your vast experience in football, how did you receive news of the intention to expand the number of teams in AFCON from 16 to 24?
Well, one would say these are really interesting times in African football. First of all, Ahmad is the new president of CAF. He made some vow when he was campaigning to be president, and as part of his campaign promise, he wants to implement some of the great things. I believe that the intention is to open up the competition to as many countries as possible, so that countries that have not been heard of for a very, very long time will begin to appear at the Cup of Nations.
But the impression we're getting is that opening it up will not only limit it to African countries, but those that are outside the continent.
Well, these actually are early days yet. I think for now, what we are hearing is that he wants to open up to 24 African countries. Naturally, if it's opened up, for instance, and China or the USA wish to host, as it were, then they may then be able to bring in a country or two. It will not be too much of a difference. But I think about 43% of the countries would come from Africa. And most of the time, some countries, even great countries like Nigeria and South Africa, have lost out at the very last minute. And so this is not good. This is going to make it possible for nearly every country of value to appear at the competition when it started.
How will it be if the tournament is hosted outside of Africa? I mean, the implications.
Well, tournament hosting outside Africa is not the major recommendation. It is just being said that, yes, we are going to open it up. I'm not sure we are going to rely more on that. But if I want to answer it directly, the important thing is that more money will be made available, because you can be sure that If, let's say, the corporation is going to rake in about $100 million, we would agree to take it out to China, for instance, if only we are going to get about $1 billion. And that should make a lot of money that would trickle down to all the various clubs in Africa.
But that will be limited to the club, because if Ghana is hosting it, people will be getting money in the hotels, restaurants, and even those who sell made in Ghana clothes.
Yes, there are two things. You wanted to know, first of all, what gain we have. We're going to have gain as a continent, because whatever country outside Africa is hosting would definitely pay a lot more money than one can imagine. And when this money is paid, eventually it will be paid to the countries that participate. And these countries might be able to share with the various leagues that they have. For instance, if Ghana has paid money and it is big enough, perhaps if we are paid and we get about $100 million, we may start to put $20 million for the various clubs, the Premier, Division 1 and Division 2 and so on and so forth, and perhaps juvenile football. So with that one, there is a big advantage. So it's a chance to bring money actually into the continent. It does not make it totally an African concept, but in the end, it is good for us. That is only monetary-wise. And the other way, too, is that it's going to expose our players who want to play professional football in certain countries, because they are going to know about African football more and more. Don't forget that African football has its own classification. We play more skillful football, and people are very amazed at the way we play our game. We may not score many goals, but at least we entertain. Our football is very, very entertaining, and many countries wish to have the African concepts in their leagues as well.
Alhaji, security is a problem for us on the continent. So if you're going to add 8 more countries and an African country is going to host all these teams, 24 countries and the supporters, are we then prepared to take care of the security of all these people?
Well, if I had a chance to advise, I will advise co-hosting in some of these instances. Yes, we're going to have 24 countries. And countries may have the capacity, they may have some stadia, but they may have security concerns. If you recall, Ghana and Nigeria were the first in 2000 to ever co-host in the history of the world. And therefore, and thereafter, Europe also did it as well. So I would advise co-hosting in many of these instances, and I'm sure that is what is most likely to happen.
All right. But the very last one, in trying to enhance competitiveness of these tournaments, if you are adding 8 more countries, is it not a case that more of less competitive countries will make it there just because the vacancies are there?
Yeah, it might appear so, but don't forget that a sovereign nation is a sovereign nation. And when we play matches, like when Ghana has played Ethiopia, we know on paper Ethiopia has never been to a World Cup, and Ethiopia cannot compete us, not today. When Africa started with smaller teams, yes, most of these countries were there, but even Ghana was there when we were much fewer. But we play a country like Ethiopia and it's competitive. We play a country like Uganda, and Uganda would hold us in Tamale, which is away to them. And therefore, there will be some giant killing countries, definitely, that would come their way. And, you know, countries like Ghana and Cameroon, South Africa and Nigeria, smaller countries want to beat us and make a mark. And to them, then they won the World Cup. Once they're able to beat Ghana, they're happy enough.
Okay.
And therefore, there'll be some giant killing moves made by some countries. And I'm telling you, it's going to get quite exciting.
All right. Alhaji, we are very, very grateful for your time with us tonight.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Dr.
Alhaji, Lepowuru Alhaji MND Jawola, is a former football president of GFA and a football administrator. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Also joining us on the line is sports journalist and commentator Henry Asante Chum. Good evening, Henry, and welcome to the program.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
What's your take on the what the CAF president is hinting, expanding the number from 16 to 24 and the possibility of having it hosted outside Africa?
Thank you. I think there is
a hand that is operating from somewhere which cannot be seen. there is a hand which is operating in the dark.
Invisible hand?
That's what I see. That's what I think. The reason why I'm saying this is, if you look at the circumstances that led to Issa Hayatou's exit, and, you know, the way it all started and how it was perfectly executed, almost every single proposal that we have had in this CAF symposium is similar or are similar to the proposals that the current president of FIFA, Gianni Infantino, said during his campaign for the presidency, for the FIFA presidency post. He spoke about expanding the number of teams that play at the World Cup. He spoke about the World Cup being played in different countries.
Okay.
He spoke about globalization of the World Cup. He spoke about taking a World Cup game from one country to the other. And it is just like a replica or a photocopy of his campaign message, which is being recommended to us. So that's why I said there is an invisible or there is an underhand dealing somewhere. That's what I suspect. Now, if you want to go into the merits and demerits of this recommendation, I think it will be difficult as a continent. We have our own challenges. We have our problems. Now, Africa, with my experience in this job, Africa is the continent with the most difficult task of traveling within. And sometimes you even have to go to Europe before you come to Africa, if you live in Africa. You know, so I really don't know how they are going to do this. They are talking about marketability. They are talking about money coming into the industry. These are fantastic ideas. It looks beautiful on paper. But there are teething problems that exist, that they live with us, that we haven't solved. And I am not convinced that taking the game to US, China, and Qatar is the solution. Let's ask one question. How popular are our players in China? How popular is the African player in the US? How popular is the African player in Qatar? And what shows that when you take the final of the AFCON, for instance, this year, Egypt versus Cameroon, which the Cameroonians won, what shows that if we had taken this final to Qatar, the stadium would have been full capacity? There is no scientific proof. There is no scientific backing. There hasn't been any detailed research for us to make findings, dig deep, and know exactly what we are trying to do, the benefits that will come to us. Let's not only think about money, 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 money. That is not the end. Because Gabon built two new stadia because of CAN 2017. It means that you are enhancing their football development.
Okay.
Am I lying?
Yeah.
South Africa saved 2010, the first time Africa got the chance to hold the World Cup. So hosting a tournament gives or affords or it gives us the opportunity to build new infrastructure and to develop our base as regards football. Now you want to co-host it here and take it to other parts of the world. So where is the benefit?
Are we then selling our birthright?
That is what it's beginning to look like. I think we have to be very, very careful. Ahmad, yes, he hasn't done much in football. He was not a successful footballer. He didn't do much as a coach, but he has come very far. I mean, in his personal in development, capacity, achievement, blah, blah. But the CAF job, it is different from him being in Madagascar.
All right. Henry, we want to thank you very much for your time on our show. We are very grateful.
Thanks for having me.
And get time and come to the church. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Some of your text messages. Mustafa in Tamale says, NDC is just making unnecessary noise. And their noise cannot prevent President Akufo-Addo from bringing the kind of development that they could not give to Ghanaians. NDC will continue to wallow in perpetual and everlasting opposition. The NDC still deepens the fact they are incompetent NDC if you could not be competent in power, please be competent in opposition. Rafik AOT in Tamale sent it that NDC should stop this blame game and focus on how they will rebuild their party come 2020. Zibo in Wenchi, when will the NDC national chairman and communicators stop their propaganda? Because President Akufo-Addo and the NPP government have done well by restoring the economy, which was broken by the NDC and its leader, John Mahama. Jake Ernest Aye in Kaliu sent in that one. The NDC should give us a break. This is not a family and friends leadership. The cock and bull story made by the NDC leaders simply because they loot and they looted away what the, I don't get it. Governance was only made for the chief one car. Rashid Gambo in Bimbila sent in that. A disaster is about to befall the country should the Electoral Commission boss be removed by the president, and therefore the president and the MPP should be careful in handling the matter. Awafu Halidu in Cape Coast sent in that one, and that is how we draw the curtains on today's edition of Behind the News. My producers today have been Asibi Bangu Ikela, John Pobi, and Philip Boateng. Patience Dovlo Amwa was our sound engineer, and I'm George Asikri. Until we meet tomorrow, God willing, same time, enjoy the rest of our programs.